Good morning, everyone. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Garfunkel Lux Holdco 2SA Quarter One Results 2016 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, during which, if you wish to ask a question, you need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, the 25th of May, 2016. The recording will be available on the investor relation page. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Colin Storer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Andre, and a warm welcome to everyone, and a very good morning. I'm the CFO of the GFK Lao Group, and I'm really pleased to welcome you to our first quarterly results call of 2016. I'm sure it feels just like yesterday to a number of you since you had the last opportunity to speak with us. In fact, it was just 27 days ago. For the benefit of all of us, we've decided to keep this update mercifully brief. For those of you who did join us on the 28th of April, we thank you once again for taking the time out of your diaries to join us. As ever, James Cornell, our Group CEO, is alongside me to give context to the numbers which we present. As with the 2015 year-end presentation, should you not have a copy of it in front of you, our presentation's available for download at any time from our group investor website, which has got the http of investors.garfunkellux.com. The presentation captures the Q1 2016 trading results of Garfunkel Lux Holdco 2SA. These results are, of course, unaudited. They're based on our management accounts, and where appropriate, they're prepared in accordance with IFRS. Due to the fact that Garfunkel Lux Holdco 2SA, which you'll know is the ultimate parent company of the group, didn't actually exist as at the 31st of March 2015, we've provided comparative figures, and they're provided on the following basis. For the 3 months to March 2015, or indeed any static points as at the end of March 2015, the numbers are based on the combined trading results of Metis Bidco Limited, which we refer to as Lao throughout this presentation, and also GFKL Financial Services GmbH, which we refer to as GFKL. For the 3 months to March 2016, or the static point as at the end of March 2016, the numbers are based on the actual trading results of Garfunkel Lux Holdco 2SA, which for ease we sometimes refer to as GH2. We've elected to show the year-on-year comparisons in our presentation to provide a reasonable proxy for you to understand the development and growth of the group's trading. With these formalities now discharged, I'll pass you over to James, who'll talk you through some of our Q1 highlights.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us. To slide five of our presentation and our Q1 2016 performance. Once again, the impressive FY 2015 growth trends we shared with you a few weeks ago have continued strongly into the first quarter of 2016. Our non-performing loan portfolio acquisitions across the group are up 79% versus the same quarter last year. In fact, we delivered 71 million of acquisitions in the quarter, and these investments remain well diversified across originating verticals and also within keeping of our more recent vintage return thresholds. The strong quarterly acquisitions performance, coupled with our investments across 2015, has naturally fed through to the growth in our estimated remaining collections, or ERC, which as at the 31st of March 2016, stood at 1.45 billion pounds, an increase over the year of 32%. We continue to expect around 40% of our 120-month ERC to come back to us within the first 2 years, a cash collection profile that gives great forward visibility of our cash flows. With regards to cash EBITDA, I'm also pleased to say we continue to see double-digit percentage growth with a 13% increase versus the same quarter last year to 59 million, largely driven by higher NPL cash collections. We estimated the ERC replenishment rate, namely the amount of purchases we need to make to keep our year-end ERC flat, to be around 120 million pounds during our year-end call, and we see no issue in over-delivering against this benchmark in the financial year ahead. In fact, we already have visibility of over 140 million of closed to date and committed spend for the 12 months December 2016. A really positive position to be in after just one quarter of the financial year. We also continue to see the performance of our ABS, Lao Solicitors Limited, vastly exceed our initial expectations, something that bodes well as we continue to extract value from our sizable back book.
Using slide six onwards, I'd like to take the opportunity to provide a little more flavor to the Q1 highlights that James just headlined. As mentioned, we've seen a really strong start to 2016 with that figure in terms of new non-performing loan acquisitions of 70 million having been closed in the first quarter. Furthermore, our acquisitions remain well diversified. In addition to the diversity of origination, we also benefit from diversity as to how our purchases are actually acquired. We are not beholden to spot sales. Now, auctions are clearly important to us, but over a third of our purchases in the period came from our forward flow agreements, a proportion we expect will grow during the course of this year. We also called out earlier that our 120-month gross ERC has increased 32% year-on-year to 1.5 billion. I'd also like to draw your attention to what this means in terms of growth within the quarter, because this represents a 7% increase from our year-end position of 1.36 billion, and on a 180-month basis, our ERC now stands at close to 1.7 billion pounds. On slide seven, you can see how the growth in our cash income, which we define as cash collections from owned assets plus cash commissions received from assets that we service, has been the principal driver of the 13% increase in our cash EBITDA. We've seen cash income step up from 96 million to 107 million, a 12% increase, with cash EBITDA increasing from 52 million to 59 million pounds in the three months. I'm also very proud to be able to present the ongoing evolution and sustained growth in our cash EBITDA metric. On a rolling last 12 months and reported currency basis, the group has seen cash EBITDA grow from 185 million in the last 12 months to December 2014 to 270 million as at March 2016. Now, that's an increase of some 18% over just five quarters. Now, this evolution of cash EBITDA is in part because of the lagged nature of this key metric. It's a point we consistently make. We're a business that incurs a greater proportion of servicing costs upfront on our recently acquired NPL portfolios. For as we're purchasing non-performing accounts, we need to proactively contact our customers, understand their circumstances, and build a rapport in order to agree those sustainable long-term payment plans. Consequently, depending on the timing and quantum of acquisitions, the business at any point will naturally see a step up in cash EBITDA, because future collections from the setups of those long-term sustainable payment plans build more gradually, whilst at the same time, those fresher portfolios move through the peak point of the high upfront servicing cost profile. It's why adjusted EBITDA constantly grows. Of course, in a run-off scenario, our adjusted EBITDA would equally receive a short-term boost as the upfront costs associated with bedding in new portfolios would not be incurred. Moving on to slide eight, you'll see we continue to prudently manage our balance sheet. As at March 2016, we've got 184 million pounds of available funding to draw on for asset purchases, 62 million of cash, and an available RCF of 122 million. As at 31st of March, our group net debt stood at 1,044 million, comprising bond principal of just over 1 billion, 1,084 million, a drawn RCF of 23 million, and netted off a cash balance of 62 million. This amounts to a net debt to gross ERC ratio of 69%, obviously defining LAL's ERC on 120-month basis and GFKL's on 180-month basis as per the indenture, and it remains steady to the position that we communicated at year-end. Our net debt to last 12 months cash EBITDA metric has stepped up ever so slightly from the year-end position. That's been driven by a combination of primarily adverse FX movements, although timing of purchases and that lagged cash EBITDA measure that we've just touched on also have an effect. I'd actually guide you to think of the business as having the capacity and intent to organically deliver over time, but being comfortable with the leverage we're currently operating at. Our net debt to last 12 months cash EBITDA is at 4.7x, while our senior secured net debt to last 12 months cash EBITDA is at 3.6x, a level which is the joint lowest amongst our peer group. Finally, before I hand you over to James to conclude, I draw your attention to the appendix of the presentation, where we've included some further supporting materials to aid your understanding of the full group. We've included a full group structure, a reconciliation of GH2's cash EBITDA to operating profit, and a reconciliation of cash collections down to operating profit for the three-month period ended March 2016, and also the comparative period ended March 2015. We've also split out our ERC by vintage on page six of our results and on page 18 of our presentation, as we remain truly committed to providing transparency and visibility wherever possible. And we hope this additional information to what was provided at year-end demonstrates our intent and ultimately proves useful to you.
Okay, so if I can just draw you to slide 10 and our 2016 outlook. As you'll see, this may look familiar to those of you who saw our year-end presentation. Its re-inclusion is therefore no mistake on our part. Very simply, the past 27 days, I guess, have given us no reason to change our outlook for the rest of the year. As we said, the outlook remains positive for the group, with the team continuing the strong progress made to date on our integration, together with the ongoing sharing of best practices, which I have to say for me personally has been both much fun and extremely rewarding. Our focus on value creation remains at the forefront of our thinking, and we remain confident that the underlying structural drivers for market growth across Germany and the UK remain very positive overall. In addition, the very fact that we are speaking to you today, having already secured around £140 million of spend for the 12 months to December 2016, reinforces our confidence for the year ahead. Our desire to extend our value proposition to our clients by developing a full one-stop shop offering will give us even more debt purchase and 3PC opportunities in our chosen geographies, to date, namely the UK and the DACH region, comprising Germany, Austria and Switzerland. So finally, after having announced the acquisition of the Austrian market leader Incasso Service, we expect the deal to close by the end of May, i.e. over the next few days, subject to antitrust approvals. So to conclude, the confidence with which we entered the new year remains very high, and the combination of our strong Q1 trading along with the positive performance we've seen to date across Q2 provides a further boost to our outlook for the remainder of 2016. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for listening, and without further ado, would ask the operator to open up the lines for any questions you may have.
Certainly. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Star and one to ask a question. We do have a couple of requests, and the first one is from the line of Ash Thomas Watson for by Brook Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my question. Just to kick off with a housekeeping one and then move on to a few others. So you report cash income for Q1 16 of £107 million in your presentation. And then if I look at what you report as gross cash collections in your long-form report, the figure is £145.6 million. What am I missing? What's the difference there?
Sorry, can I just check, when you say long-form report, are you referring to the same report for the quarter, but which includes the financial statements?
Yes, exactly. It's the one titled Garfunkel Lux Hold Code 2 SA QE 31 March 2016.
The cash income number comprises the gross cash collections of assets owned plus
yep.
the commission which is earned on assets serviced, whereas the gross cash collections is an indenture requirement that we have to report the gross cash collections on 3PC as well as the gross cash collections which emanate from DP.
Oh, right. So you're only earning the commissions on 3PC?
Correct.
And you're reporting the amount? Okay, gotcha.
Correct.
Thank you. And then if we just move to the cash income number, you split it out for us into LAL and GFKL, which is very helpful. Within that, could you give us a split between the servicing revenues and the amounts you've collected?
Yeah, as we said historically, I direct you to think of the business as primarily about an 80-20 split, with around 80% coming from DP and 20% from 3PC.
Yep, and then for, I guess, the constituent businesses, is that equally true for LAL and equally true for GFKL?
No, absolutely not. And that's one of the great advantages of bringing the two businesses together, because we'll be able to leverage from the respective skill sets and historic competencies that we've got. So within GFKL, it's much more a 60-40 split, I think. And within the UK, it's been sort of around 90% plus coming from DP.
Great. And then last question, what sort of returns are you seeing when you're bidding on portfolios at the moment?
Acceptable returns, which are in keeping with the thresholds that we've historically had.
And in line with your peers or below?
I'm not aware of what our peers' margins are. All I can say is that we continue to write attractive business, and it's in keeping with the thresholds that we've historically achieved. You'll appreciate the commercial sensitivity around that topic.
Great. And then last question, how did you get to the claim that your LTV is the lowest in your peer group?
I'd direct you to have a look at the Credit Suisse research or indeed the Barclays research, and both of them show that on the net senior secured debt compared to the cash EBITDA, I think we're at 3.6 times, which is the same as Arrow.
Right.
Compare that to others.
Sure. So that's a senior secured figure, right? Not
correct.
Totally through your cap stack.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one further request. So as a further reminder to all participants, star in one to ask a question. And your following question comes from the line of Alisa Senderovic from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. So firstly, can you disclose what the cash EBITDA growth for the group as a whole was on a constant currency basis? And then also what that number was for GFKL specifically? And then lastly, can you talk a little bit about the integration of GFKL and if you've seen any synergies, particularly on the revenue side? And sorry, also one last question, basically a detailed one. If I look at the cash flow statement, there was a cash outflow of $16.5 million related to an increase in trade and other receivables. So just wondering what the driver of that was. That's all. Thanks.
Okay, Alisa, I think you've just articulated three different questions, if I'm right.
Yes.
So James will pick up the point around integration, how it's going. There was a point around cash EBITDA, and then lastly there was one around cash outflow. So if I pick up those the finance questions, in terms of cash EBITDA, the overall growth rate is 13%. It's gone up from 52 to 59, if I remember. JFKL has clearly played a part in that, where the cash EBITDA from JFKL has gone up from 17 million to 19 million. In terms of the cash outflow...
Sorry, just to clarify, is this on a constant currency basis or is that reported? Because I was wondering about the constant currency basis.
Yeah, that's on a reported basis.
And what does it look like on a constant currency basis?
We'd have to recalculate that for you.
Okay, thank you.
I guess picking up on the integration, as I sort of intimated, we're very pleased with how things are progressing. Clearly we're just over 6 months in, so I'd be lying if I said things were complete. And I think we're a long way forward now in terms of fitting the jigsaw pieces together, so to speak. And all of that is going very well. We, as I said, have been spending a lot of our time in terms of cross-fertilizing knowledge. Which, as I said, has been extremely fun, very entrepreneurial, and pretty much every conversation I see and hear and have, we're seeing further opportunities all across the group. So, like I said, that's been incredibly rewarding. That clearly is leaving us with a lot of opportunities that we are now prioritizing. There are still the strategic main levers that we talked about at the very beginning that obviously are dominating those priorities. But it's nice to be able to report that there are lots more things that we keep finding to add to the list.
And then
that'd
I think in terms of your last point, Alisa, unless there's anything else you want to add, I think you were just talking about the cash outflows and other receivables. So the receivable number's up around 8 million from year end. That other receivables number comprises rent deposits, direct payments, which we then, so when we make collections on behalf of 3PC contract, and we clearly need to return those collections to the originating creditor, we hold it within that line. So depending upon the timing of collections and when we actually make remittances back to the client, that can cause a degree of volatility in that line. It also includes recourse and prepayments.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. Your following question comes from the line of Jason Leight from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I've just got one question, please. You said at Q1 you've got available funding of about $201 million. Can you say if, given we're about two-thirds of the way through Q2, if you expect that number to be higher or lower at Q2?
It depends very much upon what our purchase success is within the quarter. So it's a very difficult number to give guidance on. I wouldn't expect it to be materially adverse to that. Clearly, we need to also settle the acquisition of Incasso Service, which will have a detrimental impact upon our cash balance, but obviously is going to be hugely beneficial to our leverage given the EBITDA which will come from that.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Your following request comes from the line of Alexander Nordhagen from JP Morgan Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two for you. One is, you mentioned that your intention is to delever. I was just curious to hear what the targets are in that respect, because I kind of view the business as just being permanently levered. And then the second would be a more soft question, which would be around industry consolidation. You know, I know you're still integrating the two businesses, but do you hear talk of other companies in the industry, Europe-wide, you know, rumours of integration elsewhere?
Okay. If I pick the first one up, Alexander, and then James picks up the point around consolidation. So I do think this is a business which has an inherent ability to deliver. We've consistently shown, from a LAL perspective, our ability to do so. When we think back to when we issued the first 200 million bond back in 2012, I think it was, we delivered quite significantly prior to the transaction. I think that I've directed you to say that we are at 4.7 times net debt to cash EBITDA. I think this is a business which over time could easily get to 4 times. That's probably the guidance which I'd give.
Thanks.
And I guess sort of linked to that to some degree, picking up on industry consolidation, I guess I'll give you my stock answer that I've said repeatedly before, which is, of course, we will be speculatively looking at M&A opportunities as they come along. I think it's no surprise that there are quite a few consolidation activities happening across all of Europe, so there certainly aren't a shortage of opportunities. However, we will only consider those where they have very strong strategic merits. I think it's fair to say we've got still a lot to do in terms of combining the strengths of the two businesses that we've obviously put together, and now obviously with the wider DACH region with Incasso Service. And I clearly want to make sure that we remain focused on delivering those objectives, given there is some very interesting opportunities that we want to make sure we deliver. So, like I said, we will, of course, be looking at broader opportunities, but doing it in a very careful and considered way.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. You have no further questions, so as a final reminder, star in one if you wish to do so. You have no further requests. Please continue.
Okay. Well, thank you once again for both your time and also your questions. As ever, they show a great insight and understanding of our business, which is something we truly appreciate. Look forward to working with you over the forthcoming year. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And that does conclude the conference. Thank you all for participating. You may all disconnect. Have a good rest of the day.